Hi, welcome. You're listening to the Green Antler podcast, and this is the waterfowl podcast that is Green Antler produced. But we're not at the Green Antler today. We're just a few houses down, and I'm talking to my neighbor, who I am honored to say is a past counselor of our village of Tassis, and one of my mentors, that's for sure. I really enjoy talking to him, so we're in the neighborhood. We've got outdoor noises, like people running power tools. We've got dogs, and we've got Louis Van Sakima. Did I say it right? Is it Louis Van Sakima?
That's about right.
Yeah. Well, sometimes Louis. I've always called you Louis, but I...
That's fine.
I'm such a fan of yours.
Oh, heck. With all the creativity and the neighborhood activity and such, I can't help but be intrigued with my relationship with... Sarah Fowler
and Louis Van Sakima. That's who we have.
And she's the mother of a couple of children. You know, one of the things that we'd really strive to have is the voice of children in our neighborhood. And it's just starting to warm up again now. We're starting to see signs of spring and some signs of children showing up, and they come in all different forms, you know.
It's nice to have children in the neighborhood, isn't it?
Oh.
There's a new baby up over here on Tipperary.
Yeah.
A one-year-old. I'm so excited. But then, you know, I do talk to the dad about how the baby swing worked when my kids were babies and I could put them in. But now the baby swing is sort of broken down a bit. People have tried to fix it with tape, but it definitely needs a sort of a new...
Or you're talking in the
park
there?
This park right here that we can see here. What's the corner? That's the corner of Resolution and Discovery, right? And there's the park with the sea cans. And when my kids were young, I got a 10-year-old and a 7-year-old now, but when they were babies, that park was the one where I could put the baby in the swing and push her, right? You know, and now the baby swing, it can't hold a baby. You could duct tape your baby into it and do a little push, but then you'd have to rip it off again. So there's a lot of improvements that need doing. And I feel a bit guilty about taking up the swing when it was still usable, and now it's sort of just falling down. I feel bad about...
Well, it shouldn't be your personal maintenance contract, should it?
Thank you.
It should... You know, maybe it's outgrown its usefulness.
And
they
be replaced.
All do come time and dated. We've done a few different things with the park, and boy, oh boy, along with a nice playground park that was kind of gentrified, if you would say, it's good for both seniors and for little kids. And they're friendly toys, and they're just kind of fun, and a lot of folks have got nothing better to do, really, but the ground, if it is needing to be repaired, I think some of the structure probably lasts near to forever.
It's just the baby swing that is the really dysfunctional part of that park there. But one of the things that is really, like, it's moved, the improvement that park has seen since I've lived here is the sea cans and the murals on them. I understand that was your council that got the...
It was, and I was kind of unprepared for something that I had originally thought would have been a better idea. And it would have been to improve just a little bit of real estate between the Tassis Health Center and the Tassis Village Office. And it could have created...
That road there, that connecting road.
Yeah, there's a connecting road, and it's a friendly hillside, and nice vegetation and such, and it wouldn't have taken too much to level the ground up again. Would have required a source of material and such, and some engineering, of course. And I think that those crucial items that are between the command center in the event of
an emergency.
Disaster,
yeah,
and our health center, and these items would have been right there at their fingertips, as well as at the command center. And it's all on a nice, friendly, level ground, and it could easily have been done. Instead, we used up a little bit of the green space that we have over where the swing needs to be repaired and mm-hmm. such. And right now it's kind of a funny, dysfunctional sort of spot. There's not too many kids go over and play in it. There is a few dogs go, and the ownerships they seem to me, for the most part, pretty diligent, and they clean up after their pets. Mm. So it could be a dog-friendly park.
Yeah, well, because it does have the encasement, right? Like, it's got a fence on all sides. Yeah. So that's, and there is a lot of people who do talk to me about
it lets them
wanting to have
a
dog
bit of energy.
Yeah.
But it needs to be friendly, and it shouldn't be where cats or other animals can go and defecate in there. And if the owner is irresponsible, that's an embarrassment.
You know, I would say that Tassis, just like Paris, France, has that same problem where there's embarrassing defecations left on the street, you know, for animals or whatnot, right? You know, but that's, you know, that's one thing that I've heard about with the truck convoy in Ottawa and the complaints there, because there's like the people sort of like occupying the neighborhood there.
Okay, so let's switch subjects here.
Well, we can still talk about the park here.
Oh,
and we can still talk about dog parks and about responsible ownership.
Like, dog barks there. Like it says, there's a sign right on the entrance.
Don't let your dog in.
No dogs allowed.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, like, we've done it. We've cheated.
My dog goes there all the time.
Forever.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes we take it in the company of another owner's dog.
Mm.
And they get to know each other. And they have a hell of a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's one of the reasons why we have parks and dog parks, is to socialize our kids and animals.
Yeah, but you got to do it with discretion.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes stuff does happen, and heaven forbid somebody ever get tore up by a pet that was angry for a stupid reason. And my dog might get like that, because he is a dog.
We're all wild at heart, especially here in Tassis.
So, you asked me some things that were maybe important to me. I think I am. A leopard can't change his spots, eh?
They can or can't?
Can't.
No, they can. I'm a snake myself. We're in politician, we're politics, we're people who...
But my dad raised me to believe I was a true blue conservative, and I voted for these guys forever.
He was a farmer, wasn't he?
Yes.
Yeah.
And, you know, I've always voted for conservatives. But in recent years, with federal politics, the thing that really changed for me was when Stephen Harper was counting all the dollar bills.
Mm-hmm. And selling all the...
And no, he says, we have limitations. It's all about money.
Mm.
It's not all about money. There's so much money flowing out of this country.
Mm-hmm.
There's more than we know. I tell you, if we could dream a dream, it could be fulfilled. And it's not being.
No.
Not with that kind of mentality. It's not open-minded enough. It's a little too, I'm sorry, Protestantly...
The work ethic.
You earn your keep.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
It's a hard knock life.
And just because you happen to be a little bit weird doesn't mean you're not human.
Well, I mean, this is the thing. There's not too many weird conservatives, is there?
So, anyway, my political allegiances have changed.
Oh!
Since, like, Justin laid out, and he spilled it out. He says, what do you need, $118 million for a murdering missing women investigation? Well, it wound up costing, I don't know, probably four times that much, five times maybe.
Yeah.
But you know something? It was money well spent.
Yeah.
And I like the fact that a liberal democracy means there's going to be some social benefit to our... having administered all this wealth, the conservative stuff is saying, no, 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 no. if you're not on my side, well, you must be on theirs, and that's the wrong one. And you don't benefit, and it doesn't include everybody. And I'm waiting for them to come up with the whole picture.
Yeah.
And it's coming.
Yeah.
Like the whole, this guy, this O'Leary, what's his name?
O'Toole.
He had to step aside.
No, O'Toole just had to step aside. Yeah, he's been bumped by his party.
And it's by virtue. And?
You like the new one. Who's this new one? The interim.
No.
The one that put in his place.
And I'm so glad
she stepped up. I forget. It's a woman. I forget her name. I'm so sorry.
She's fallen on her sword.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, she is.
As you do.
No. Because she can't run for the leadership.
Oh, why?
They have it. Well, because if you're going to be the interim,
then you give up your rights to be a campaign.
Yes.
Gotcha. That makes sense.
They have a bunch. They have Peter McKay. The one that I really hope emerges is that Pierre Poilievre.
Yeah. That's your favorite, eh?
Well, he was born with this in his blood. This guy. But he speaks from really true conviction.
Mm.
There's a few others. There was one, a lady one. Her husband was diagnosed with early onset Alzheimer's.
Mm.
And what was her name? She would have been my first choice. She would have been, I think, a very popular prime minister.
Conservative
elect.
Leader. Mm-hmm. Right.
She put the grilling on, the Quebec government, and there was a whole kerfuffle in Parliament. She sat in on the committee with the Conservatives to
be accountable.
To ask the serious questions and why, and it all comes with a big body. Of power.
Yeah.
Of people that are organized.
People that need
people
her.
People that contribute financially.
Big time.
And I.
Well, and like Alberta being, in the West, but also sort of the Texas of Canada, right? BC is a little bit more green and crunchy, but Alberta's conservatives are true blue, right? Like Stephen Harper. No, I'm good, thanks. But, the fact remains that there's always going to be the sort of like need for the raw resources that Canada exports. You know, like you said, the money flows, right? There's definitely been, especially here in Tassus, there's definitely been a lot of money flow to the global market that didn't necessarily, like what come up at my meeting for the Watershed Society meeting the other day. We were reviewing the terms of reference and the Nootka Sound Economic Development Corporation came up, and then it was like, oh yeah, that's dead now, that no longer exists, but there used to be a funding stream in which some of the resource value from exported from this area would come back to improve this area, right? And that's not something that we really,
it wasn't kept alive,
we don't see anymore. It goes somewhere else. It's not meant to improve our circumstances.
And I don't mean this to speak ill of anybody, but this was in the era of when we had a Chamber of Commerce.
Mm-hmm. Another thing that has
and
died.
I shouldn't name any names, but there's a prominent businessman here that proudly displays a plaque on his wall about
25-year service, Chamber of Commerce.
And where is it now?
It's no longer functional.
Apparently.
But this is the thing.
And we're missing that voice, I think.
Mm.
Do I ask to go and plead with him again to run for council? I don't think it'll happen.
No, well, and I think that there's some things where the ship has sailed in the sense that, like, we're not going to get the watershed.
I have given him honor in that. Now, I don't mind having a discussion beyond. I don't think I'm dead yet, but I don't think so either,
Louis. You're here.
I don't think my wife would really stomach me doing another term.
Well, and I, how many terms did you do?
Barely two.
Barely two.
I stumbled out of the second one.
Well, and I remember talking to Ann Cameron, who did one term, saying that she didn't want to run for re-election because of whatever she reasons did. That she had.
She did. Ran the year that I got voted in the first time.
Oh, but she wasn't chosen. Oh, really? Well, and that could happen to me. You know, I might run for re-election and people might say, you know, that's not the kind of people that we want representing us, you know? And that is a choice that I will have to, you know, take
Tassus,
with...
Tassus had the craziest of circumstances with its politics, just with the way things emerged with the people that showed up here with their inheritance and invested.
Oh, tell me about... The people investing in their inheritances here. Tell me about that. Because that's, like, I've only lived here for 12 years, and you've definitely lived here a lot longer and seen a lot more changes. You know, I don't know that I'll get 2 terms here in Tassus. I hope that the residents here feel like I'm doing them a solid, and you know, I feel like I'm doing my, like, honest best to try to represent all the needs of the community.
You know something? I was always respectful of Mr. Dolan. And, boy, I tell you, they created a lot of volatility within the Tassus politics of the past.
The pillage the village.
Oh, there's been a few different things. And, you know, we all got sort of got on side, but there was a different mayoralty sort of split once upon a time where they really went to battle and they... In some ways, they lost so heavily. But in the meantime, they invested heavily with a family inheritance, and they bought peripheral property around the town, which included some part of a gravel pit and some view property
and
some really other nice... And a gas station, which apparently is still dysfunctional.
Yeah, I don't
they
think
tried
it,
to
you
turn
can't buy
the
gas
only
there.
Hoist in town, turned it into a video store, for God's sake. Mm. Like, I mean, he wasn't a mechanic, apparently.
Well,
but
I'm
now
not
he's
either.
Having to learn how to be, because he's become a contractor. I hear that he's... owns part of this gravel pit, and he also owns another machine, and he owns
like
a dump trailer.
Oh, yeah.
And he has some other things, and he's going to get at her and do some things.
And we all have to believe it when we see it, don't we?
Well, he's doing some work on Frieda Road.
On his place there, yeah?
Not his place.
On Frieda Road.
Well, it was some guy out of desperation phoned up. A guy from Alberta bought a trailer there, so...
And said that I need you to dig some stuff?
He was hoping to coax me into it.
Yeah, yeah. I bet a lot of people still want you to continue with your waterlogger salvage business. And you know, like, I would vote for you if you ran also, Louie. But I also understand that you're allowed to say, I've contributed what I can. You know, something that actually really burned me the other day when you were like, oh, Sarah, the Tassus taxpayers have really invested a lot in your education. We've been really training you up and we've been trying to, like, give you all the tools that you need to succeed.
I said that?
No, well, you were like, yeah, because remember when you called me to say that you wanted me to ask someone else to run for council and you're like, well, you need to run for council because we've invested in you. And as much as that's true, I also want to sort of counter and say, I'm doing my best.
Touché is what you're saying.
Yeah, I'm doing my best, and I'm just one person, right? And I can't do anything alone. And I also sort of feel like, what about all the contributions that I've given, right? Like, yes, I have been trained on taxpayers' dollars.
Do you want to run again?
I am running again. I intend to get reelected. But that is, of course, up to the voters. And one of the things that, you know, I'm not everyone's cup of tea, right? We all have our different priority issues.
Well, yours, without a doubt, has a socialist bent.
It does, doesn't it?
But
I'm definitely the bleeding heart, aren't I?
It looks after people. I've met some interesting people in the last few days that are all looking for a new home. Yeah, some of them have children. Being the elderly gentleman that I am, I'm not going to go get too involved with a whole bunch of other women.
No, well,
I do believe I have a lot of girlfriends.
You do, yeah. Well, you're quite the catch, you know. I mean, I adore you, Louis, and I feel like I myself, even though I will take that socialist bent, you know, I do care a lot. Like Dan Dulling at our last public meeting came and said that 80% to 90% of the people in this town are on fixed incomes, disability, pensions, and can't really stomach any financial increase in the tax revenue, which is fair, because I can understand that.
And that's been, I think, our
attitude for
our
some time.
Assessments and so on and so forth are fairly predictable in a sense, right?
Yeah.
I think Canadians are Canadians. They're realizing what this COVID stuff is, and there's not going to be any big rate increases, I don't think.
Well, but COVID has really changed this town in the sense that before, maybe being a small town with underservicedness and, like, you know, single family homes was, you know, not, we were considered the have-nots. You know, we were like out there in the field where we don't have our own bank, right? You know, but now with COVID, now we have all the space in the world. We can climb up that mountain and be the only one there, right? So that's like the thing. And that's one of the things that I noticed too with the tourism pre-COVID. There was a lot of international tourists, some people from Germany and Austria, who said, oh, we have mountains like this at home, but you have to share them with a million people. So here we pay for the solitude. And that's one of the things that we sort of can export in that way, because we do have this like big, raw, wild land around us.
On a good day, you can sell the blue sky and watch the planes overhead. And you can see a full moon. You can see the whole thing.
Yeah.
Hey, on a good day.
On a good day. Not every day's a good day.
No. Any day you can drive with the window open is a good day.
That's right. Yeah. Well, and this is like, I had the last guest that I had on my podcast here today is a 16-year-old from Machozen. And we talked about bikes, bike infrastructure, being able to bike places, the 15-minute community. And we have that in the sense that it doesn't take very long to get from one side of town to the other. But, you know, it rains a lot. And since I moved here to my house on the hill, I don't ride my bike as much as I used to. You know, it rains. It's also, you know, quicker to use my car. And, you know, the real, like, if there was a school bus, then I wouldn't have to drive my kids to school. But in me driving my kids to school has made it so that I pick up other kids and I'm the school bus.
I think I've piloted an idea in the past about, and I've got two different adventures in this notion as far as bicycles goes. Some of them might be impossible dreams. You might not get past the certain local landowners unless you started making friendly with some of your Alberta natives and saying, hey, how can we help each other out instead of just plucking each other's pockets, right?
Wouldn't that be a crazy idea?
Well, you know, because we do collect handsomely from the businesses, you know, those rent out, you know, on a daily or weekly or monthly basis for a rent fee for, you know, to people that are transient land, you know, visitors.
Yeah.
And we just automatically assume that they're going to be successful and they've got lots of money. And
it's a lot of pressure.
We take away from them the ability to be gratuitous.
Really? I don't know. There's like a nice moose head over there. That seems like a gratuity, right?
You know, that came out of the free store. And it is a gratuity. Yes, it is.
It's a generous joke, isn't
it? I'm fond of it.
I love it.
I am so fond of it.
Thanks to Nigel. I guess what I'm trying to say is, so let's say that Mr. Dolling at the meeting was correct in saying that the demographic population from a financial perspective is 80 to 90% fixed incomes, and that leaves 20 to 10% business owners, people who are trying to run, you know, guest homes or...
I think in reality, he could be cutting pretty close to the chase when it comes to, you know, the reality of people that are trying to live here for 12 months of the year.
Yeah, I'm one of them.
Yeah. Now, there is quite a number of people that come from elsewhere.
Yep.
Whether that be Florida or Wyoming or
Seattle or Texas or Alberta. Yeah. Austria is the one I mentioned earlier, right? Whoever.
But they have a personal wealth. They're personal situation there is when it goes up for sale, it's going to go for a handsome dollar because they've spent a lot of money on it.
Improving it.
Kept it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And not everybody's had the same privilege. So.
That's right. It is a privilege to be able to make improvements, right? Like, one of the, just my own personalness, I've lived for 7 years in the house on the Discovery, and we have two sides of the house painted. The front side and the side, and not the back side. And, you know, we also, it took a few years to save up for a new roof, right? And that's like, it is a privilege to be able to improve this investment that we have, you know?
I like what we've been able to do in the last little while, and it's just taken a little while to sort of catch on, but there's this tree faller named Adam that's been showing up, and he's been cutting down some of the peripheral trees in the neighborhood, and it has been so enlightening.
Watching him is thrills me and scares me.
what it's doing is taking out some of the peripheral shade trees, and it's buying people like immediately. You got
it's like another the clouds hour open up. Yeah,
you got another hour of sunlight every day, and they need to go all the way around the park, but. That's it.
But it's not just about shade trees. And it's also, like, I mean, one of the things that I've encountered in Esperanza, during a windstorm, a tree fell on a building. No one was hurt, but the building was destroyed completely. Right? You know? So, like, there's also sort of that, like, you know, even though the trees close to my house keep my house shady and make it cooler in the summer, it also does, like, keep the sun off. And, it, like, one of the trees that Adam took down in my my neighbor's yard, that one was the one that would have fallen on my house if it fell. But we dropped it instead of waiting, you know, waiting for that eventuality to find our way. And, yeah, like, I mean, like you said, it's not everybody's... It takes a lot of cooperation to get everybody on side with some of this work, right?
Some people worship their trees, and that's verboten territory, so you just don't go there. And, well, we'll rue the day perhaps someday, but it's a healthy tree, that one.
Yeah. Well, and this is like, it takes all kinds, right? It takes kinds of people who recognize danger trees and have the skills to climb up and drop them, because I don't have those skills. Yeah. And it also takes the kind of people who are like, oh, I've been growing this, like, precious oak for however long, and it's this tall, you know? And it takes, because that's...
Adam, what's his title? He's an arborist.
An arborist, yes, that's right.
And... he knows his trees.
He's great.
And,
I think he used to be a tree planter, but now he's found a different, better gig.
Well, and he's very good
at it. He's very good at it. It's true. I love watching him, but I also, like...
we had fun.
Yeah. I feel like I'm watching a horror movie in the sense that I have this, like, sort of, like, sensation that, like, wow, what this guy is doing is just totally defying gravity right now.
Show you the mess in my backyard. I need to go and clean up all the limbs still.
Oh, did he cut some trees in your backyard, too?
Just some... He just took a lift off of... I've got one tree in the backyard, if you notice. I've got a few, actually, and some of them maybe are liabilities, and I was kind of quizzing him on
what
the
does
health
he think?
Of trees.
Yeah. Well, that's his bread and butter.
But this one, it only took him 10, 15 minutes. And
he makes short work of it.
Yeah. He zip, zip, zip. And he took about 15 feet branches off. Mm-hmm. It just lets in so much more light mm-hmm. in my backyard. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to get some firewood out of it, and I'm going to put the rest of it through the chipper and make some salt.
Yeah, exactly. Well, then you have a plan, right? So you have a chipper, or you're going to get it chipped?
Chipper.
Yeah, okay, great. So I know that when, like, the tree that was close to our house, that was, like, most likely to fall in our house, that was in my neighbor's property, when we first sort of moved in, we made that same thing with you with the branches, getting the branches taken off so to let more light in. But further, we made a deal with the neighbor and we were able to take that tree down, so it's not a problem anymore in the sense that we no longer have to worry about that tree falling on our house, right? But there is definitely a lot of, I would consider myself maybe one of those tree huggers, those tree lovers, those ones that are like really interested in planting new seeds and seeing the recruitment of new old growth rather than continuously just sort of, you know, exploit the trees that have been planted 60 years previous, right? Like, because there was one time when this subdivision was built here at the Discovery, the town site, right? The Snob Hill, where we are.
All
the trees were gone. Yeah. Yeah. And there was a landslide.
They sloughed whatever with a bulldozer.
Yeah. And flattened it out. Made it a little bit more developable.
Stuck it out here. They stuck it out here. I fell through.
You fell through what?
When I was digging this corner for puddings.
Wow, really?
For the house, yeah.
Was there a cave under your house?
It wasn't a cave.
Just
it was
like a hollow.
It was just a wooden stem that was about 6 feet long, about yay big.
A stump.
It was the end of a log that got trimmed off.
Okay.
And it got buried under there.
Uh-huh. And it's easier than moving.
There was nothing left.
It just all hollowed out.
Yeah.
Decomposed.
Yep. Mm. All of the entomology had decomposed.
Well, that makes me think about the president's tree when that fell, naturally, in a windstorm, mm-hmm. right? And Martin, our mayor, wanted it to just be left there as a nurse log for other trees to grow off of it and be eventually decayed where it fell. But then other people, because
bullish
he's
about it.
Well, he's a scientist, right? So he recognizes that there's been writings, books too, about
hopefully that's what happens with the rest of it. Otherwise, we'll all get horned and go out there and cut firewood out of it.
Well, I mean, that's there's lots of firewood to cut. You know, every windstorm, there's like more trees on the road that need to be cut, that need to be, you know, like find a home for and all that. But I mean, with the fire department getting the like salvage license for that president's tree that fell in a windstorm, now we're being able to like take that wood and bring it home and make a table out of it and keep the stories alive. This was the president's tree. I have a piece of it that's the cutting board, you know, and it says TASS's president's tree, TPT, you know, burned into it. And I bought that as like a craft item at the Christmas bazaar from someone who was making and like cutting up this wood into be the sort of kitsch craft item that, you know, I'm willing to pay $25 just to have in my house so that I can cut my pizza and have that bit of that history, right?
Well,
and the nurse log doesn't really do that.
It's not an ongoing industry, though, is it?
How many cutting boards can we really sell?
what's your resource? Like, I mean, you can sell all the cutting boards you can make.
Yeah. I don't make any, you know.
But if you don't have the supply, you know.
Yeah, well, that's one of the things, too, is that we had a mill here once, right? And now people who want to buy wood to fix their houses have to go to Home Depot 3 hours away, rent a trailer, bring it in, you know, or else they have to salvage logs, which, you know, can be easy if you have the knowledge and skills to do so, but can be difficult if you don't.
That's true.
One of the things that I noticed during the power outage is like, you know, some people who heat with wood didn't have any wood. So they could have been warm during the power outage, but they were not prepared. Some people who live here
would have been us.
Able to chop their own wood, you know, they've just like been able, they're not, you know, like I myself need to go over to Judy's house and chop her wood because I said that I would try to do so on a day that wasn't raining and she, you know, she needs my help, right? You know,
Judy.
So
who's Judy?
Judy Burgess. She needs some wood chopped, you know.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And I remember too talking to Anne about, like, every time the power goes out, she's like, "Oh, I think I want a wood stove, but who am I kidding? I'm 80 years old. I don't really want to chop wood," right? You know. And so there's
Cameron.
Like. Yeah, of course. You know, my personal
mentor. Does she have
mentor.
A wood stove?
No, she wishes she did.
She doesn't have one.
No. Well, and right after the power outage, the SRD came out with this, like, you know, it was an old program, and it's going to be continuous in the sense that trying to get people to decommission their old wood stoves that are inefficient and get more pellet stoves that are efficient,
well,
or, you know, heat pumps. Like, you can get $750 rebate.
Buy me a new wood stove then, buddy.
Well, and I will eventually, one day, you know, like, I don't know if it's going to be in my next term because I don't make much money, Louis, but I do know that one day I won't just have a Jenny and a few jerry cans to continue to run my pellet stove. I will have a legit wood stove in my house so I can burn a few sticks and keep it warm and boil water without having to get camp gas, you know? But
no.
It costs $1,000 to get a new wood stove, and it only costs $200 to get a Jenny, you know? So it's hard to get to that point where, like, you're able to make those sort of, like, long-range plans, even though I understand that, like, that means once I have a wood stove, then I'll have to chop wood all the time for my own self. And that's like...
If that's going to be your dependence.
Who's got time for that, right?
You know? I know. You know, it's an adventure that I always loved doing. I'd go out in the fall. I'd take my hunting rifle with me and I'd go scouting for a deer or something. I very rarely shot one, but...
But if it was there...
Get a load of firewood.
Yeah.
And in the right season, I'd maybe get lucky.
Mm-hmm.
It's been a lot of years since I made any deer sausage.
Well, you know, but you did.
I did.
You have, yeah, and I never have. And even Jess, our friend, who was telling me about these, like, places, you know, she's been looking, touring around France, and she's trying to build her new house in Quebec, and she wants to build it in a way that it could be heated. Like, she was telling me yesterday about these people, they start one little fire, they burn the fire for 30 minutes. The way that the stove is designed, it keeps the entire house warm and heats up the hot water with only a 30-minute fire. That's really efficient. Right? Like, can you imagine just having only 30 minutes of burning in your fire and then having hot water and...
You know something.
I can't.
I think it would be the shortest shower you ever had in your life.
Yeah, well, that's... I like to take baths, so that takes a lot of hot water.
But...
And that was one of the things I really missed during the power outage. By day seven, I was like, oh my God, I'm so cold and I really need to have a hot bath.
Well, I gotta tell you, I'm an old goat and I hate getting naked and I hate getting wet.
There we go. It's a good thing. It's a good thing we got old goats around. You know, like, I'm really interested in you telling me about when you did make deer sausage, because I have lived here for 12 years and I've never went fishing and I never... have hunted, and I have hens, though, so there has been some death. You know, we had 6 hens, and then we had less, so there's
Did you eat some of those hens?
No, we didn't eat any of them. It was all the wildlife.
I had a hard time eating any of mine.
Yeah.
They laid eggs, and I tell you, I could never eat them.
Mm. But you could eat a store-bought chicken.
Yeah, I can.
Yeah, I especially like the ones that are already pre-cooked that I just buy at the
grocery
store. I'd like
to... to raise them to where they were actually, yeah.
There's a lot of farmers, they raise theirs, like, whether it's pigs or hens, and then they get their neighbor who also is raising them, and they cross, like, I won't slaughter and butcher my animals, you will, but I'll slaughter and butcher your animals. And it's like, you know, that way you're not like, oh, this is the one that we called Lily, or, you know, pterodactyl. I like to call them Dolly Parton, you know, like, they're all just Dolly Parton, all the hens, but,
careful now.
Well, I just, you know, I can't always tell one apart from the other, you know, but now that we only have 2, there's, like, the big one and the little one, but when there was 6 of them, they were all just the Golden Girls and Dolly Parton, right?
Oh, that's fun.
Yeah, well, I really enjoy having hens, but I also recognize that in doing this animal husbandry stuff in my, you know,
I only
homestead,
had them once, and I was disappointed with my own performance, so.
As it is, that's how it is. That's what I would say, that accurately describes my political career and also my farming. Because, you know, I've had a lot more fails than I've had successes.
I'd love to have some more chickens, and I know we'd get more eggs.
Yeah.
But my wife is terrified of chickens.
I feel like they want to peck my toenails. If I don't wear closed-toed shoes, they just try to peck at my toenails, and I want to... Yeah, I can see why she's terrified. They are, like, really...
They're
harmless, but they're aggressive. Yeah. I would say that maybe that's something that I am, too. I'm harmless, but I'm also aggressive. Oh, Louis. So... tell me about making deer sausage. So you shoot the deer.
I only ever did it once.
Only ever once.
I had a little porker sausage grinder that I had that I clamped to my kitchen table.
Yeah.
And I mixed it with...
garlic.
Well...
I don't know.
More, you know, I didn't... It was the one and only time I ever tried to do it.
Yeah, but you tried to.
And I mixed it with some pork blade... sausage, thinking that'd be enough fat. I should have put a lot more fat in it.
Because deer is a lean meat, right? Is that...
No.
Yeah.
But it was... oh, it was so good. Boy, they were the best sausages, I think. I'd like to improve on them. But that would mean taking another deer or something.
Well...
and, you know... turn it into some sustenance, but I don't think that's such a bad thing.
No, it's not a bad thing.
Not really, but it, in the proper context and with the right sportsmanship, I think it can be done.
There's definitely a lot of deer around.
Oh,
like,
lots.
I think that I have a neighbor has
they're
a chameleon.
They own me a few, with all the clipping they've been doing in my gardens.
I know, right?
I have been fattening them up, so my... I think I'm in line for one of these things.
Well, you know, maybe it wouldn't be you that have to do it. Maybe it would be someone else who wanted to do it and provide those sort of, like I would buy deer sausages if I could trust the person who made some.
I couldn't sell them.
No, but I would trade, barter, right?
Well, that's another form of currency.
It sure is.
So, like, I had one last thing I wanted to share.
I'm listening.
I heard a rumor.
Oh, yeah?
It's kind of an April 1st rumor.
Oh!
I heard they were going to move the House of Commons to Winnipeg. Because the parking lot's a hell of a lot bigger.
I do love Winnipeg. And that would make sense because it's sort of the geographical center of Canada. More close to here than Ottawa.
You know, they're making so much goddamn noise over there.
I used to live in Ottawa.
I
feel really bad for the people who live
so
there.
So sore Jordan souls. Mm-hmm. A lot of people have got nothing fucking better to do. And I'm sorry. Go dig up some prairie. Where did you come from?
What's dig up some Perry mean?
Plant some carrots. Some turnips. Something.
You know,
don't burn up diesel like this.
It's a waste. Well, and we're in a climate emergency, right? So let's drive across the country.
Let's watch a few more planes fly over with the elite.
Empty.
Going over with our decision making, you know, because they're east-west and this is China and we're scared of them. We're scared of Russia. These guys are scared of Pierre
Trudeau's
well, Justin Trudeau. What the hell is the matter with him?
When I worked in the West Block on the House of Commons, I was just in school still, so I was like in studying politics in Carleton, and I worked at the West Block, and that was when Pierre Trudeau died. So he was laid in wait in the state funeral, and that was like one of my, you know, early memories. Like, I didn't finish my studies in politics at Carleton because I worked.
I didn't watch the burial that closely myself. I
was there at the time, and now I'm here. And I wonder how, like, There's a Federation of Canadian Municipalities. I guess it's like a workshop, I guess. It's called Local Solutions for Net Zero, and it's in Vancouver, and it's in March. But when I present to council that I'm interested in attending this so that we can try to get some solar panels on some of our buildings and we can get some electricity, no matter how much little it is, maybe we can charge our phones during emergencies, like power outages.
It's not a good enough excuse.
Well, this is what Martin said. He said that, oh, $1,000 is a lot of money for you to be self, you know, fulfilling your own needs. And I'm like,
okay, did I just shoot that out of my mouth?
No, well, but
this is my
like,
first impulse.
It's okay, and that's all right, because you're right. We're too poor to care about these kinds of things. But unless we start caring about things, it's only going to continually get worse. Right? Like, okay. I get that 80 to 90% of our population here in the village of Tassus is on a fixed income. I myself rely on my baby bonus and then the remittance I get from the village. But me being the small community rep on the provincial advocacy board,
it's opened a few doors.
It means that I have to get in a plane and go to these meetings and make arguments that say small communities are getting left behind.
And who pays for that?
Well, the way that it goes is this. During the year, so I've been this is my second term as a small community rep. And once a year, there's the forum, you know, the UBCM forum, and this year it's going to be in Whistler. And the Village of Tassus residents pay for me to go there, but there's quarterly meetings. That's the forum, right? Then there's three other meetings, and the province pays for me to go to those meetings. So Village of Tassus pays for one quarter, and then every taxpayer in the entire province pays for me to go to Vancouver or Victoria. The next one is in Victoria. Okay. And that is Advocacy Days, where we're bringing forward the sort of needs
maybe
to work
on. Maybe there's some
other
things. I met a girl yesterday that sort of expresses the need that we need some social housing.
We do need some social housing. But when, like, you tell me the newest building, or you tell me where there is any social housing in this town already. Nothing organized, nothing BC Housing legit. You know, we have to attract that kind of investment here.
No, they're magneting Mahir just by virtue of you gotta live in Tassus. I met a girl. I don't know if you know Jolene.
Jolene, yeah, I know Jolene.
Do you?
Yeah. She had kids in the school for a bit.
She has a daughter.
A few.
Sharina? Serena?
I know Leah, and I know...
She's got a lot of hair.
Hannah. Yeah. Well, you know, I mean...
Is that Hannah?
We know Jolene, and that's the mom. And, you know, so she was telling you about the need for social housing here. Yeah? Because I understand this. When I first moved here...
She had an interesting triangulation. I went to play poker yesterday.
Oh, good. Did you win?
I lost the first $2.
Well, you know, you played.
But it was close. We just started playing on our other one, but Jolene was our dealer.
Oh, good. I bet she's good at that.
I have a funny suspicion that she would be.
Yeah, I mean, if I were to have a casino, I want her to be the blackjack
guy. She was dealer in training at this point. But it was a nice treat for us.
Yeah, to be sort of served in that way, right? Otherwise, you got to do it yourself.
But she had so much stuff to say.
Yeah. I love it when new people come and say, oh, you know what we need to do here? Do you remember when I was new and I was that person?
I have to think back.
Yeah, it's been a while, but there is definitely like a... When you first arrive in this town, and maybe that's been a long time for you.
I think it's the first time when you wanted to make a splash.
Yeah.
Like I'm here. Mm-hmm. Come on, you haven't noticed. So, how do I get involved? Mm. And
it is.
You do.
Well, and you know.
Good on.
When you got involved, when you first moved here, running for council wasn't the first thing you did. You were a small business owner, right? That was like your main contribution prior to running for council for two terms.
Yeah.
And, you know, I would say that for me, that makes a bigger difference, you know? Like, what I do in my own, like, pursuits, like, running, not running for council, but doing my poetry work and, you know, like, my working together with the community food programs and stuff like that. Like, I feel like that, to me, is more meaningful than some of the policy work, because a lot of the policy work just, like, doesn't really seem accessible to people.
I want you to differentiate it between what you think is going to earn you some money and what's actually going to make a difference.
Yeah, that's an important, thank you for bringing that to my attention, because I don't make money doing my councilship, but I do feel like I'm trying to make a difference. But I guess it's more money than none.
You know, I missed that $400 a month.
Yeah, it's nice.
But
makes a big difference.
I didn't deserve it either anymore.
Why? But how do you deserve it?
Well, you know something.
How can I deserve it?
It's got to be sincere effort.
Hmm.
And not... not a secondary means to an end.
Hmm. Well, and that's fair. Yeah, you're right. I mean, I make more being a parent of my children with my baby bonus than I do being deputy mayor of the village of Tassus. But I feel like me doing the work of council meetings, budget meetings, also with the other higher stuff like the AVIC and the UBCM, like moving small town issues up to big time tables where there's actual funding envelopes, where there's like... it was the FCM money, $1.89 million, that got the flood pond and the pumping station built downtown.
That?
No, of course not. But I...
that was all engineering stuff.
Well, that's grant-driven, right? So they offer the grants, and we apply for them, and we decide that that's where we need to go. And I'm just one person, right?
So
you know.
Where is somebody... let me ask you this, if you know this. We hired a consultant a few times. Her name was Lisa Christensen.
I don't know her.
She turned into a CBC consultant for Rock and Roll.
Okay, Lisa Christensen
is
on
that
CBC.
The same one?
I don't, who knows?
Is that the same one? I wonder, because she came up here under Mark Datchell. As a consultant.
Yeah.
A lovely looking lady.
Yeah.
And she was going to find all the water meters and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah.
Or not the water meters.
The mains.
We were discussing the meters.
Yeah.
But where all the shutoffs were. And they realized they didn't... fuck, they could only find like 30% of them or something.
Uh-huh. There's a lot of mysteries left to be found.
Apparently, Rita's helping us out with that. Or maybe we're helping her out with hers.
I've heard that Rita hasn't had sewer for like a month, so like...
and apparently it's going again.
Okay, well, you know, I worry about these
Fine.
Kinds of things, because...
yeah, and we should.
Yeah.
It's...
flushing?
When we're this high up the hill, girl.
Huh? No, it's full on, you know? Like there's...
it all runs down. I mean, there's
it all runs down.
Gotta be a problem if we've got a problem.
Well, and the next thing that, like, is on the grant sort of list is to seek funding for shutting down one of the sewer treatments, because we have two, and sort of amalgamating the with the, you know, 300 plus toilets that we have here and making it just into one system so that there's not redundancies.
Well, I'd like to see a full reach out to First Nations that they reestablish their reserve lands here.
Mm.
And they...
but they would if they wanted to.
They would if they wanted to. There's got to be a reason for them to do it. We've got to have some reason to hire some young people. And they have lots of young people,
mm-hmm.
more than we do, apparently.
Way more than we do.
So, who are we doing this for? I don't know. Your kids, my kids.
For them? For the First Nations kids that will come here?
Everybody's kids.
Yeah.
If, here we've got a whole thing here. We've got a reserve land. We've got land beyond that that should have invited Jesse to come here and say, your market garden in this spot.
Jesse tried to lease Pete's farm and tried to farm there. You know? That was one of the many things that she tried to
do here. I watched us walk through this, and I'm so sorry she's gone.
We missed out. She's such a skilled person. And, you know, but she left a mark, you know. Her sister's here now. And there's ways in which... there's ways in which, you know... We can only do what we can do, right? Like, even just yesterday, I was talking to somebody who wants to have some chickens at Pete's farm and have that be sort of like an egg factory, the same way that they had at the farm towards West Bay, where...
I totally disagree.
Why?
You know, the Pete's farm is something...
It's a heritage site. It's the only one.
It's on a migratory river pattern.
Migratory river pattern, yeah.
If we moved it across the road from where the Rod and Gun Club Road runs up, if we can, there's about 6 acres on one side of the road and about 12 acres on the other side of the road that would lend themselves to some really good agricultural properties. And boy, they get the most, like the best sunlight exposure in those areas. And that is where I wanted to invite Jesse. Say, listen, and at the time I had machinery, I would have been her helpless servant. Oh hell, I would have helped with land clearing.
Yeah, there's a lot of that work that needs to be done if we want to have agricultural
big,
land.
Big stumps. Well, it needs
some tender loving care.
It does need that. And it's so over neglected now. I mean, we think we're growing money out of these trees that are growing on that ground. You ain't anywhere near enough Chinese.
Well, you can't eat money. I mean, that's
It's not money. It's agriculture.
We don't have... This is a tree farm license area. We don't have any... cattle farms, any vegetable farm, everything. Like, I have a homestead. Last summer, I went away for 3 months, and Graham lived off the hen's eggs, the potatoes, and the tomatoes that were planted. He also had the blackberries growing wild. And, you know, you could, for one person, it was enough to get by, right? But there's, for every success in my, you know, little homestead farm that I'm doing... There's 10 failures. I had bees that didn't work out well. They all died. I had garlic all die.
You know, there was cows out at New Jersey.
I know. I heard that Miss Sharma would go and milk a cow at Pete's farm. Is that true? Can you corroborate that?
I wouldn't deny it.
Oh, I wouldn't deny it. Oh, that sounds true. I love Mrs. Sharma. She's the best.
I know of the cattle at New Jallet's.
Oh.
They were brought over on Captain Cook's ships.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
Well, the people, well, whoever it was, Vancouver.
Yeah. They had cattle, eh?
They sectioned off the outer limits of Nootka Island in quarter section lots. And they developed into some interesting properties over time. But they did. Some early migrants came to try and settle there. And it was a horrible climate. It was far too damp.
I would say that...
The cattle survived. Everybody else moved on.
Oh, the cattle survived and everybody else moved on. That is a really good way to end this recording. Thank you so much, Louie. I love talking to my neighbors, and you've been listening.